For those of you that don't know, I've been away the last couple of weeks on some vacation. Yay! Okay, taking our youngest, or I say our oldest daughter, our youngest, she's like, I want to go next. Okay, our oldest daughter to, she's going to be studying for a semester in Glasgow, Scotland. So University of Glasgow there. Actually, I should let you know, as you're following along, message notes. Here's a couple of pictures. There we go, message notes. A couple of pictures. So we had 4 days in Iceland. We ended up snorkeling. It's called the Silva Trench. And yes, it was just as cold as it looks. They didn't call it Iceland for nothing. So we first time in the dry suits. So that was kind of fun. A couple other things. So waterfalls, and there's the University of Glasgow. And there's an Edinburgh on Arthur's Seat, and then Thursday, saying goodbye to her in her dorm. So my heart is full. It was a wonderful, beautiful time together, but really, really glad to be back, and also really excited for this fall and getting. We're launching a new series next week. Series that we just simply called Grace. Now, so here's the premise of the series. So if you were to ask most Christians how you're saved, they would probably answer something like, I'm saved by grace, which would be the right answer. Yay, good job. Or, I'm saved because Jesus died on the cross for me, which is also the right answer. Yeah, every now and again, you hear people say something like, I'm saved because I try my hardest and I do my very best, which is actually not the right answer. But even for those who would give the right answer, who are theologically grounded in grace and recognize that our salvation is because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, if you push them just a little bit further and you say, well, so because Jesus died on the cross for you, how did that really affect you? They're going to have a hard time answering. I think a lot of Christians, even fairly mature Christians, have a hard time kind of connecting the dots sometimes between Jesus' death and how that makes a difference in their lives every single day. So, this is just you and me talking. It's actually a doctrinal series. So it's going to be, not doctrine makes people's eyes roll back. Like, oh my gosh, doctrine. No, I don't want to do doctrine. But it's going to be really practical. It's going to be really understandable. But I want to equip you. I want to equip you so that you're secured and anchored in your faith and so you're equipped to share it with the people around you. So 8 weeks on the topic of grace and what it means to know that God loves you as you are, how he has saved you from where you're going, and how through grace, God changes every aspect of your life. So even today, I just pray that you'd just say, okay, I'm gonna be here for the next eight. I'm going to be here for the next eight. And find a connection group. A number of our connection groups are going to be going through this material, including I'll have a drop-in group on Thursday night from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We're going to be going deeper into the scriptures, answering questions, just exploring this topic, because grace is the secret sauce of Christianity. It's all about grace, and yet we have a hard time sometimes understanding it, how it works, how the atonement works, and how to apply it, most importantly, to our lives. So that's my plug for that. Let me grab a little bit of water here. And so today, I'm going to get the gum out of my mouth. What kind of a person comes up with gum? That's ridiculous. All right. That's so gross. Okay. I'm sorry for that. But today is really just a 1 week, not really part of a series. I just wanted to share what's on my heart and the things that God has been doing in my life, and what he's been challenging me with. And so today we're going to be in Psalm 139, so get your Bibles out or your Bible apps out, or follow along in those message notes, columbiagrove.org / message notes, or if you go to columbiagrove.org, it's like two screens over, just swipe right a couple of times, it's all going to be there. I want us to be reading through this passage, and it's, on some level, it might even be kind of familiar. I remember even memorizing most of this psalm in high school. And on some level, these ideas are like, yeah, I kind of get it. And it's like they're simple, but they're absolutely profound. Absolutely profound and life-changing. You see, we believe that God's word is divinely inspired. And so God's word helps us to understand aspects of God that we cannot figure out on our own and we cannot see on our own. And so that's why we want to be in submission, active submission to God's word in our life. And that's my prayer for us this morning, is that we would hear God's word with fresh ears and open hearts. And so I want to lead us in just one brief prayer before we start to dive into God's word together in Psalm 139. I want to challenge you to pray two prayers. First, is to ask God to speak to you through his word today. And the second prayer is that he would equip you to share something that you're learning today with somebody else. Because you need God's word in your life. You need God's grace in your life. You need God's peace in your life. You need God's power in your life. And as God provides his peace and his power and the fruit of the Spirit and all the benefits of what it means to be walking with Jesus, he does it so your life can bless the people around you. There's a world in desperate need of God's grace. Do you know that? So let's just pray that God would fill you today through his word and then equip you. So let's just do that. And just invite you to bow your heads for a moment. I'm going to lead us in just a really brief prayer. You pray it, you know, in your, like your inner voice, just however makes sense. But Lord, would you speak to us today? Lord, help me to hear from you today because I need it. Just take a moment and ask God for that. And Lord, equip me today to reach somebody with your love because the people around me need it too. Will you take just a moment in whatever way makes sense just to pray that, just to pray that. Just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you through his word. And maybe today there's even some particular individuals on your heart, people that are in your life and they're on your heart, and God is, you know that God is calling you to share your faith with them. Will you take a moment just to pray for those people, that something you hear today is going to equip you and strengthen you to share God's love with them? Will you take just a moment to do that? All right, thanks, Jeff, for praying for your dad. We're praying for him, too. We're praying for him, too. Okay, let's open up God's word together. Let's open up God's word. We're in Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. This is a Psalm of David. You know when I sit. You know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Let's just pause there. So, from this passage, from what you just read, what does God know about you? Everything. Everything. So here's the first point I want us to spend some time with is just to remember that God knows you personally. The God of the universe, the God that we just, you know, sang to about, you know, the end of time, all praise, all honor, all glory, that God, the moon and the stars, creator God, the one, like billions of galaxies across the universe, that God knows you personally. When I sit, when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar, my going out, my lying down. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. God knows you personally, every aspect of your life. Do you believe that? Just spend some time with that thought. Maybe this is a weird way to think about it, but I wonder sometimes, like, if, like you think about how, you know, we have cameras and microphones around, you know, with our cell phones and all that stuff. What if your eyes are like God's cameras? Your ears like his microphones? So everything you see, he sees. Of course, he can see beyond just your eyes. But that's part, like, he sees what you see. That thought can be a little daunting sometimes, can't it? A little creepy. Remember that old Police song? Every breath you take, every move you make, I'll be watching you. You're like, oh! Yeah, remember that? Which, by the way, in the original version, it was a creepy song too. But in the light of God's word, it's a profound truth. That's also humbling, isn't it? God sees what you see. God sees what you look at. God hears what you hear. And even more so, God knows what you think. God knows what you say before you even say it. Do you believe that? God, the God of the universe, knows you personally, that personally. Let's keep reading. Okay, verses 7 through 12. So, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is as light to you. Second question. So where is God? Everywhere. Everywhere. Is there any place that we can go where God is not present? Go up to the dark side of the moon, all you Pink Floyd fans. God there? God is everywhere. Now, that's got to challenge our thinking a little bit. Because, see, we often live, don't we? Like, there are places that are more like God places, and there's not God places. Oh, that's church stuff, but this is business stuff. Oh, that's nice church ideas, but this is politics. You know, as if God wasn't present in all of those places. And as much as that's true geographically, that's also going to be true culturally. There is no aspect of our lives where God is not present. He's present in the brothel. He's present on Wall Street. He's present at Guantanamo Bay. He's present in the White House. There is no place. There's no place where God is not present, where God doesn't see, where God doesn't hear, where God doesn't care. There is no place, because God is present where? Everywhere. Do you believe it? Let's keep reading. Verse 13 through 18. For you, God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. So how much does God think about you? A whole lot. Here's the third point we need to spend a little bit of time with. The idea that God has detailed plans for your life. The God of the universe, that created all things everywhere, he knows you intimately, he is present everywhere, and he has detailed plans for life. Think about it. He had plans for your final breath before you drew your first breath. Wild? You were a person in God's eyes. You were somebody that God was planning for and dreaming about long before your mother was even showing. God has detailed plans for your life. How often does God think about you? More than the what? The verse says grains of sand. That's a lot. Now, I know some of you think about yourself an awful lot. There's only one being in the universe that thinks about you more. And that's God. God has detailed plans for your life. Do you believe that? Spend some time with that thought. The God who created all things, the God who is everywhere, the God who knows everything. He knows you. You, your thoughts, your feelings, his plans for you, his desires for you. He has detailed plans for your life. Well, let's keep reading. Let's move into this is the part of the psalm that when I was memorizing this as a high school student, I kind of skipped this part because this is the part that's kind of like, I don't like this part. All the rest of the psalm is like really inspiring. This not so much, but that's all the more reason why we need it. All the more reason why we need it. We're going to keep reading in here. Okay, so verses 19 through 22. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They will speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against them? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Does that feel good? No, I don't like that part. But it points us to something that is profoundly true. Profoundly true. Remember, can I see your eyes for a second? We are in a battle. Do you realize that? We are in a battle. And God is the one, this is our fourth point, God is the one who brings ultimate justice against his enemies. There are systems and structures and ideas in this world that are opposed to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Friends, never forget that we are in a battle. We are in a battle. And God is the one who will ultimately bring justice against his enemies. So we can trust him to ultimately bring the punishment against those who rebel against him. It talks about things like, away from me, you bloodthirsty. So it helps us to understand some ways of living that are in opposition to God. That as forces rise up in the world that look to kill for no reason, that look to take innocent life, that look to use power to advance their own power rather than to protect and guard the innocent. There are ways of life that are in direct opposition to God. We need to understand this. We need to hear this. And we need to remember that God's enemies will ultimately lose. So we've got to remember to be on the right side. We are in a battle. One of the things about being in Scotland these last couple of weeks that was really powerful, hard, too. I mean, this is the land where, like, and I don't know if you read our e-news or not. I sent a little clip on this, but like, so I walk through churches where people have been worshiping on the same site for like 1,300 years, 1,500 years, 1,700 years. I mean, through wars and revolutions, through changes of economy, through changes of nationality, Christians anchored worshiping on these places for 1,700 years, with the exception of the last two generations. We're now in Scotland. Less than 7% of people attend a Christian church of any sort at all. At all. They have these incredible cathedrals that are empty. They're empty. And for whatever reason, there's a generation of folks that are just all but completely unaware of the existence and presence of God. I was talking to a church planter there. We found a church, actually a great church, by the way. So if you're in Scotland, Rehope, good church. Anyways, and I think this is where Lauren's going to plug in. I was talking to a church planter there. It's a congregation that's about 15 years old, reaching out a lot to the students at the university and things like that, struggling along but doing good, solid ministry. And he was just saying that the greatest challenge they face is that, you know, as they're looking to introduce Jesus to the next generation, is so many of them, of those students that they're trying to minister to, they have to go back at least two generations, not just to their parents, or even sometimes their grandparents, but their great-grandparents, to find an example of faith. And as much as we might, across the pond, so they say, you know, kind of wag our fingers at Scotland and say, oh my goodness, what happened to you Christians over there? Have you been in times of peace for so long that you've forgotten how much you desperately need God? It's happening here, folks. Quickly. Quickly. And far too often, and here I'm talking to the Christians, far too often we don't live like God is always present, and where our faith is a significant priority in our life, like the number one most important thing. And our kids, when that happens, our kids, they see it, and they call our bluff. And there's a generation that is turning their back on God, completely unaware. On the flight home, I was seated next to somebody. She was in her late 20s. She's an editor for Amazon. I don't know if she's watching today or not, but super smart young woman. She's actually second generation refugee. Her parents, you know, came to the States in the Vietnam era. And they're the perfect example of the American dream. They just worked their tails off, worked like two and three jobs so their kids could go to school and have the things that they needed and get a launch in life. And she's grateful for all of those things. But now here she is in her late 20s, and she has no idea what her life is about. I mean, just lost as a goose. No idea. So we got to talk about how, you know, we as a Christian can believe that God has you here for a purpose, and he's given you gifts and a calling in your life, and you'd never heard it. Isn't that crazy? We can be surrounded with all this blessing. We can live the American dream and completely miss out on God's dream for you. It's tragic. It's tragic. A whole generation, all but completely unaware of God. And that's on us, Christians. That's on us. When we fail to take our faith seriously, when we fail to allow our faith to be visible to our kids, to let church and the Bible and seeking God and prayer and all those things be a significant priority in our lives. And I'm going to poke some, well, I'm feeling good, so I'm going to poke at you a little bit. Okay. In the next year, as a nation, we are going to spend billions of dollars in some really important political fights, making decisions about the direction of our nation. A lot of those fights are going to be around politically, are we going to head more in the directions of Europe or less in the directions of Europe? And I'm telling you right now, can I see your eyes? If the only thing you are tweeting about, if the only thing you're posting on social media has to do with that, those political arguments, you have missed the battle entirely. You're putting out mouse traps when there's an elephant in the house. Now, this stuff, the political stuff, it's important. I hope you engage. I hope you vote wisely and well. I hope you get involved. But it is so insignificant compared to the spiritual battle that we are in right now for the hearts of the next generation. Do you hear me? Because God, He sees. Because God is everywhere. Because God has detailed plans for every person that lives, that ever will live. And woe to us, Christians, if we live like that, that doesn't matter. We get so infatuated with all the other stuff that we fail to live out the most primary elements of our faith. That God is real. That God is present. That God loves you. That God has a plan for your life. And there is nothing, do you hear me, church? There is nothing more important than knowing and living into God's plans for your life. We are in a battle. God is the one who will bring ultimate justice against his enemies. I don't want to be on the wrong side. I don't want to waste my life. If there's anything I can communicate for you this morning, as I hope it'll just give you some courage to look to live out the faith, especially to the next generation. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandkids. If you've been blessed with great grandkids, some of you have, pray for them. Pray for them. We are in a battle. And it's a battle that we must respond to. Let's see how the psalmist, how David responds. It says, "Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, see if there is any offensive way in me." And let's remember here that, see, God already sees it. The issue is, are we going to allow God to show us the things in our lives that are actually hindering our walk with Him? "See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The appropriate response to a God who sees everything, knows everything, and has a detailed plan for your life is to respond with fear and submission. We respond with fear and submission. We got to talk about that, because see, fear of God isn't like fear of the boogeyman. It's not fear of mice. It's not fear of like spiders. Fear of God is this deep, reverent awareness that every moment of every day you live under the eyes of God. He sees you. He knows you. We have to live with that awareness. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to have wisdom in your life. I hope you do. We're in desperate need of it. The fear of the Lord is where that begins. To recognize that every moment of every day we live under the watchful and loving eyes of God. Every day. So there's an old Latin phrase I want to introduce to you again. You know, there's a Latin phrase called coram Deo, living before God or in the presence of God, in the ongoing awareness of God. My hope for us as we look to respond to God's work in our life is to say to him something like this: Lord, help me to live coram Deo, that every single day I'll remember that you are watching, that you know what I'm going through, that you know what I'm saying, that you know what I'm thinking, you know what I'm speaking, that you have plans for my life. You see, you can be ignorant to that reality and it's still true. And we live in a world that largely is. And if we're being honest, myself included, there are plenty of days I just get distracted with the other things and I'm not actively thinking about it, but just imagine what would happen if we did. So I want to give you a little growth challenge this week, and then we're going to enter into our prayer exercise around this. So the psalm ends with these words: search me, Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want us to spend some time in this prayer exercise, this search me, test me, see, and lead me. And here's my big challenge. Now, excuse me. Now, I'm going to lead us in a bit of that prayer this morning, but here's my challenge, is that you would actually do something with that on your own. That this week, there'd be at some point, so here's my challenge, at least 5 minutes. So if you have to, be like, Siri, make a 5-minute timer, you know, like whatever you have to do, like five minutes, at least 5 minutes of prayer before God, where you'd pray something a little bit like that. Lord, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, what am I really thinking about right now? What am I really fearful of right now? What's getting under my skin? And why? Why am I so worried? Why am I so anxious? Lord, test me. See if there's any offensive way in me. God, what are the things in my life that are keeping me from walking more closely with you? Show them to me. Help me to see them more clearly. I'm telling you, some prayers are dangerous. There's some levels of self-awareness that, boy, you better be in the arms of God as you get it. See if there's any offensive way in me. And then it gets even more dangerous. And so, Lord, then lead me in the way everlasting. So I want to lead us in that prayer for a moment. Would you bow your heads with me? And so, God, search me and know my heart. I just want to invite you, congregation, just in whatever way makes sense right now, to spend a moment with that search me prayer. I'm going to stop talking. You just talk to the Lord just for a moment between you and him. Search me, God, and know my heart. Then let's move to the second part of that prayer. And test me and know my anxious thoughts. So just pray that test me prayer. What are you nervous about today? What have you been ruminating on this morning? What's been stressing you out? On to the next part of the prayer. See if there's any offensive way in me. And ask God to gently reveal any areas of your life that are hindering you in your walk with him. Whatever that might be. Whatever that might be. See if there's any offensive way in me, God. Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. And as you pray that prayer, God might impress something on your heart. He might tell you to do something. And I want to tell you, the most important thing you can do is to do it. Whatever that is, to do it. So Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Help my heart to be oriented towards eternal things. Take just a moment with that. And so God, we pray that we would be people that live coram Deo. Lord, help me to be someone that remembers your presence in my life in even greater ways. Lord, I don't want to miss out on your work in me. I don't want to miss out on the purposes that you have for my life. I don't want to waste this gift that you've given. And Lord, especially God, we pray for the next generation. We pray for those that don't yet know you, or those who have walked away because they've seen the sheer hypocrisy in our own lives. And we talk about how we trust you and the way we live in ways that would say that we just trust ourselves. So lead us, God. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Now, if you're taking a new step of faith today, I sure hope you talk to someone about it. I'm just gonna be hanging around here. I'd love to talk with you if you want somebody to pray with. And our prayer team is also, they're awesome. But just as we prepare to come to the table in communion, there's an old song and an old chorus. You've probably heard this one before, but so as our communion service come up and our communion leaders come up, let's just sing that together. And he walks with me, and he talks with me.